And we're checking in with Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch for our weekly City Hall updates. And Mayor, actually, these haven't changed that much. We're still on the phone. It's just that I'm in my second bedroom.
Very true. Very true. And the subject matter hasn't changed a whole lot either.
Yeah, boy, that is true. Why don't we start there and ask you, how's the city faring so far with the pandemic?
You know, I think we're doing as best as we possibly could. I appreciate the cooperation that we've received from the community, both residents and business folks alike. You know, when you look at our numbers, and you know, we again did an analysis yesterday. So our rate of increase continues to drop every week. This past week, the lowest it's been, down to a 17% increase. When we started, it was a 530% increase in March 30th. So we've seen a steady decline in the increase, which means you know, the curve is flattening out, which is a good thing. And when I look at a lot of other cities, per capita, they have higher rates of infection than we do. So, you know, who knows all of the ins and outs and how we get to these numbers. But clearly the work being done by everyone to avoid, you know, the transmission is helping. So, you know, we've got to keep the work going, keep up the fight. Ruth Jones and her team continues to do an amazing job at the health department. And, you know, we're in constant contact with other mayors, with the governor, lieutenant governor. We have a group of mayors who continue to touch base with the leadership in both the House and the Senate in Massachusetts, trying to figure out their challenges revenue-wise, what that means to us when local aid and Chapter 70 education money and Chapter 90 highway money. And, you know, there's just so many unknowns right now to the challenging trying to navigate through everything.
Yeah. What do you think about the governor's guidelines when reopening eventually can begin? He released kind of a four-phase plan. Will the city kind of adhere to those, do you think?
Well, obviously, you know, the governor is dealing with this issue for the state. We're all entities of the state, every municipality. So yeah, he's got a lot of experts at his hand. We've got some of the best medical people in the world here in Boston. So certainly his guidance and leadership is appreciated. You know, I saw that four phase thing. I really don't know what it means yet until we see. I'm not being critical. It's just, you know, until we see the actual, what does that mean calendar wise? You know, what is it? Yeah. Would it really stretch out to in weeks and months and so forth? And I understand the data will drive that. I also think there's another piece of information that we've got to look more closely at going forward. I think I might have mentioned it before, but when you go take a look back next year and we look at the stats really all around this, and you think about the amount of people with mental disorders, with alcoholism or addiction issues, and you look at the amount of people that probably have died from that, suicide, dealing with depression, anxiety, all of those issues are confounded by what's going on. Very, very difficult on them. And then I look at the other side. Okay, so, you know, people that are not going to the hospital right now because of they're afraid to catch anything. People that may find, you know, through a test, may have found a cancer early and not going to find it early. Or maybe had a slight heart attack and didn't know it, or they just brushed it off and didn't go in. I mean, there's so many consequences for the way we're living right now. And I got to think a year from now, we're going to look back and say, wow, you know, yes, we were concerned about the spread of the virus as we should be, mm-hmm. but there's a cost to that. And, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see what that cost is in numbers next year.
Yeah, it's, I mean, not to compare it to war by any means, but the post-traumatic stress that Vietnam vets experienced many, many years later, you know, and that eventually was accounted for and attributed to the war itself.
Indeed. I mean, that's, you know, that's a decent analogy. You know, people weren't looking at that at the time. Right. So there's so many, you know, different aspects of this that we have no clue even right now about and what the effects have been from us dealing with this, you know, with the, and I get it, I get the strategy, and that is to keep the transmission from you know, from passing from one to another. I get it, certainly. But there are consequences to that in other ways, both medically for the physical, but also medically on the mental side. And I'm just concerned about that aspect of it.
Sure. Yeah.
Never mind the economy. I mean, that's a whole other argument, you know, right?
So, right. Yes. Actually,
it's a whole other issue.
To that end, I know you're preparing to present initial budget numbers to the city council next week. Can you maybe give us a little preview of that?
Yeah, sure. It's my intention to give the council an update on the COVID and Quincy, and then an update on how the COVID has affected the world economically, our world in Quincy, mm-hmm. and what that may mean for at least the projections we're making for the next fiscal year and beyond, and the adjustments we're going to be making budget-wise to meet those challenges we're going to be facing. I mean, the reality is state revenues are down dramatically. You know, our revenues are down, probably not as dramatically as the state. And, you know, as you know, Joe, we derive our revenue to spend on the annual city budget from three main sources. The biggest one is the property tax. That revenue is 75% of our budget. And then we have local aid, which is aid from the state, which is about 11%. And then the remainder is local receipts, which is excise taxes. And think about that. Not many people are buying new cars right now.
Right.
You know, meals taxes, the restaurants are closed. So that number is way down. Hotel tax, that number is down. You know, and building permit fees are, you know, not as robust. It's decent. A lot of people doing work on their houses, but some of the big stuff has slowed. So all of those things have an effect on what we're bringing in for revenue and numbers. We need to plan for that in this coming fiscal year. So I'll get into a little bit more detail about all of those things next week.
Okay. Is that going to be an in-person presentation or a remote meeting?
Well, we've talked to the city council president about that, Nina Liang, and we've suggested it probably could be done in person, probably spread out, but if whatever they're comfortable with, I'll do it either way. So we'll see what happens. I think they'll make that decision next day or two.
Okay. And has the time frame for budget approval changed at all because of the pandemic?
I don't know that it has legally, but yeah. I don't think anyone's going to hold us to the day,
right?
Based on what's going on in the world, I really don't. You know, traditionally, I have to submit a budget 45 days before the end of the fiscal year, and then the council has to act on it before the end of the fiscal year. And, you know, so we're going to be a couple of days off by going next Monday. We held it off a little bit, traditionally go the first Monday of May, but we held it off because of the amount of moving parts on this and the numbers. We just want to get as much, you know, good information as we can as we build this budget. Even with that, we're making some assumptions. And, you know, the state may not deal with their budget till July.
Right.
They may do a 1/12 budget. There's all kinds of rumors about how they're going to deal with it. So we got to move forward. We have to have it in place. And I think that what we present to the council will be very responsible during these times.
Does this change at all the plans for the new public safety complex, Mayor?
No, it should not. And I'll talk a little bit about that Monday night too, Joe. I mean, okay. There's certainly immediate things we got to deal with, but you know, this should not affect our long-term planning.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great model in place, you know, in many cases we're the envy of a lot of communities because of our bonding capacity and our, you know, our bonding with our downtown, the district improvement financing modeling and capacity that we have. So I think it's been a very balanced approach. We got to be cognizant and, you know, deal with reality and what's in front of us, but we also got to recognize this isn't going to last forever. You know, this will rebound, and when we're back to some normalcy, whatever that normalcy may be, but as far as revenue and how we operate. So we don't want to make foolish decisions about not moving forward on things based on the short term, because these projects are paid off in the long term. These are 30, 40-year notes that we pay down, and we get great rates. We got a great rating. So I would argue that this is as good time as any. The further in that, I would also suggest that, you know, we're one of the economic engines of Massachusetts. We're one of the largest cities.
Mm.
So the stimulus can't be everything top down. The stimulus has got to happen on our level, meaning we should be moving on projects like this, which create and sustain jobs so that people can, you know, feed their families and make a living. So You know, it's all of that is in the mix when we make these kinds of decisions. And, you know, it's from my perspective, it's still full steam ahead. We shouldn't be, you know, certainly aware of what's happening in our surroundings financially, but, you know, the country got out of the Great Depression at one time. You know, we had a great recession more than 10 years ago, and you know, we get through those things. And so, you know, this won't last forever. So the decisions we're talking about at Public Safety Headquarters, those are decisions that are going to affect the next 50 to 100 years, these buildings that are going to be building. So I don't think we can stop from this stuff. I think it makes sense to pause and look at everything, make sure that we're being responsible, and be ready for those questions with the city council. But I think it would be a major mistake to stop from moving forward.
Okay. One project that is moving forward is the new General's Bridge on the Bergen Parkway. Could you bring us up to date on that, Mayor?
Yes, it's been very interesting. That project is moving. Physically, the bridge is being done by MassDOT, and next to it, the Commonwealth Building, you know, by the end of this month, that should be starting to be demolished, so people are going to see a visual change over there. And during the summer, the old AGA Wright Building should be starting to be demolished, so people are going to start to see visually a lot of changes on the Ross side, which lays the groundwork for what's going to happen in the future, which includes a medical office building, a residential building, a hotel, garage space, and other projects and buildings. One of the fun things has been the design and what will be the future construction of the General's Park, which is going to go along with the bridge. And we're going to be honoring each of the six generals that we've identified. And if you look back historically, Quincy has more than six, but with the exception of General Sweeney from World War II, these others are really modern day generals, if you will. So there's three four-star generals, General Dunford, who was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Commandant of the Marine Corps. He's probably the most prominent because not too many chairmen of the Joint Chiefs of Staff running around. And then, of course, we have General James McConville, who is currently Chief of Staff of the Army, four-star general, and retired as Chief of Staff of the Army, four-star General Gordon Sullivan, who was his reign was in the 90s. He's in his 80s now. He's a terrific guy. Then we've got Ronald Rand, who was a one-star Air Force general. We get Frank McGinn, who was the two-star current National Guard general, seen a lot of action himself. And then, of course, as I mentioned, General Sweeney, who was the only individual on both planes that dropped the atomic bombs in Japan. He finished off as a two-star general, first at the Army Air Corps and then what became the Air Force. So I've had the privilege of discussing all the pieces of the events for next year with these guys. Some have been in my office to see the drawings. Mm. Others we've spoken on the phone. We've got a lot going on as we speak with the elements of the parks that's going to happen. So we're looking at May 15th of 2021, which is Armed Forces Day, for the official dedication of the bridge and the park. Yeah. And, you know, this city has a long history, deep history, of responding to the nation's call. And when you think about the amount of military leadership from the city, and this is just one side of it. We're going to be dealing with the Navy side at some point with the various admirals that come from Quincy. So it's pretty remarkable. I mean, obviously, we never want to forget those that gave their life for their nation. And we've got a lot of monuments around the city for that. But I think it's also important to honor those that chose military service to serve and then rose up to the leadership leading our men and women across the globe in various battles and conflicts. So, you know, I know this is I'm a lover, not a fighter, as some say. But you know, Ronald Reagan once said, you know, peace is derived from a strong defense. And we see all the nuts in this world, you know, whether it's in North Korea or other parts of the world, where we have to be prepared and strong because some of these folks would certainly take advantage of weakness if that were the case. So these guys, pretty amazing individuals, pretty incredible intellects. And certainly their dedication to the nation is remarkable, and I think we should honor that.
Where exactly will the park be located, Mayor?
Well, as it's probably tough to envision, but as you know, we've had through that Ross area, there's been two one-ways, mm-hmm. One closer to the Hancock Street side and one closer to the tracks. And right. That will go away. There'll be one road connecting between Hannon Parkway and Granite Street,
okay,
which will become a Conville Way. And then the new road coming off the bridge that will go across Cliveden, across Hancock Street into the garage will be Dunford Drive.
Yeah.
So those are the two main roads. And then in around those roads, behind the buildings, if you will, along Hancock Street, the Galvin buildings, or the mm-hmm. Messina lot, there'll be a stretch of green and park space in there, that area, that will be beautifully done for people to enjoy. So that's the area we're talking about.
Okay, very good. To that end, we should ask and talk a little bit about plans for Memorial Day. I know that the traditional parade will not happen, but is there something that might take place this year?
Yes, actually, I met with both George Nicholson and George Bouchard yesterday, and we talked about a very simple program in Mount Wollaston, and probably more like a 15-minute program.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they've been talking to QATV,
yes,
to see how we can get this out. We want you can't let that go by without remembering those that served, those that gave their life. Memorial Day's come to a pretty amazing holiday in many sense. I mean, it was created for remembering those that died in service to their country.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we also remember all of those that served that country that have passed on. And I think that we remember all our loved ones. Memorial Day has become a tradition. In fact, 80 to 85% of cemetery visits happens within 2 weeks of Memorial Day.
Sure.
So it's become quite a tradition in our country, remembering our loved ones who've gone before us. So I don't think we can let that go by. Understanding the challenges we're in and the need for social distancing and so forth, I think we can do a very simple program, very limited, not even a keynote, just a couple of speakers. Read the names of those who served our nation from Quincy that died between last year and this year. Certainly have a flag ceremony part of it with the national anthem, but pretty basic, and of course taps at the end of the program. So we got to be very careful on this, because we don't want to encourage people to come, because we can't have a lot of people obviously following the guidelines set forth by the state and federal government. So it's a little tricky, but I don't think we can just ignore it. I think we do have to acknowledge it, and plans are to do that.
Sure. And I know also that your city just this week launched a new program, the Quincy COVID Memories Project, to help document this historical time in our lives.
Yes, it's interesting. I was reading some stuff about the influenza back in 1918, 1919, and they turned the Neighbors Club into a hospital, makeshift hospital at the time, to deal with the population. So it's interesting to look back historically and see how people reacted. And I think this is a unique opportunity for people. Obviously, people have some time on their hands. And everybody comes from a different angle on things like this, depending on what they do for work, for a living, for vocation. Obviously, this has affected every aspect of society. So, yeah, we're asking people in video form, or picture form, or poem form, or written form to contribute to what will be looked back as really memories from COVID-19 here in Quincy.
Yeah.
I think it's a great project. The library's involved. We appreciate their involvement. And Bob Damon from Quincy 400's involved. Lisa and Mark from my office, both involved. This could really be a kind of a neat thing to look back on. And let's hope that we are looking back on it in a very short timetable.
Amen. Yes. And we're happy here at QATV to partner with that. And also the website, QuincyCulturalMemory.com, folks can go to. Anything else this morning, Mayor?
I think we got it covered for now, Joe.
Okay.
We're out there doing the work. I mean, sidewalk work's being done, street work's underway.
Yeah, I saw a big project on McGrath Highway yesterday that's going on. So I know there's definitely action in the city for sure.
Yeah, we got to keep things moving to the best extent we can under the circumstances. So
sure. Appreciate your time, Mayor.
All right, Joe. Hold on. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.